The lesson will surround the passage that was read, and that is Judges. In fact, I was about to say Judges chapter 16, but the lesson encompasses Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16. There will be two parts to this lesson. Today is the first part. The lesson surrounds the life of Samson, the strong man. There are much that each one of us can learn from this man's life. We encourage you to learn. Be mindful that if something comes up in the lesson that gives rise to question or you wanting clarification, we are glad for your question. We appreciate it. Where you may seek clarification on something that is said, that too we are glad for. So what you would do in those cases, after service is dismissed, you may come to me or to one of the brothers or sister and speak to them about it. But you can also come back tonight at 6 o'clock, that is our evening service. And just before we enter into the lesson that is planned for tonight, we give you a chance, wherever you are seated, we give you a chance, just by the show of your hand, someone would take the mic to you so that you can express or word your question or the clarification that you see. But if that avenue is not convenient, the church's telephone number is up here. And there you can phone us and talk to us about what you wanted to ask. But we are glad for your feedback. We are going to revisit the passage again. Could one of you brothers read? I had given you chapter 13. So read that passage for us again. I think it's 13, 1 through somewhere there, or whatever I'd given you. Okay, whatever I'd given you.
3 to 6.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name.
Thank you, brother. As I've said, today's lesson is the first part of the lesson. The second part will be next week, if God is willing. But in today's lesson, we look largely on the negative side of Samson's life. And there are much to learn from that. Next week now, we look on the positive side, what we can learn from this man's life, some great things to be learned, and that can be of great help to us from the life of Samson. Samson was the outcome of an answered prayer. That is, it was his parents, particularly his mother, praying to God to bless them with a child. And God responded to the prayer, and Samson was promised and ultimately was born. So he was the outcome of an answered prayer. But not only that, Samson was a child of great expectation. Let me just give you a little hint of that and turn to chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 5. I said Samson was a child of great expectation. Let us hear the passage. Judges chapter 13, 1 through 5.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines.
And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. You must be mindful that the Philistines were the heathen people. They didn't know God. Israel was God's people, called out of Egypt. Yet when Israel sinned and abandoned God, God gave them up to the wrath and the vexation of the Philistine. Read on.
40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah,
mm-hmm.
of the family of the Danites,
mm-hmm.
whose name was Manoah,
mm-hmm.
and his wife was barren,
mm-hmm.
and bare not.
Mm-hmm. Read.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and
the
said,
angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman,
and said unto her,
and said unto her,
behold, now thou art barren and mm-hmm. bearest not,
mm-hmm.
but thou shalt conceive.
You are going to have a child
and bear a son.
Uh-huh.
Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor a strong drink,
mm-hmm.
and eat not any unclean thing.
Mm-hmm.
For lo,
you know, it is like the angel is putting her on diet to make sure everything goes right for this child, unborn child. Read.
For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son.
Mm-hmm.
And no razor shall come on his head.
Mm-hmm.
For the child shall be a Nazarite.
The child shall be a Nazarite. Mm-hmm.
Unto God from the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall begin to deliver Israel.
He shall begin. For many years, Israel was under the domination of the Philistine, and they were merciless towards God's people. But God's time had come. And many times, you as a child of God have been going to God in prayer for something that is important to you. And sometimes for days, weeks, months, years, you have been praying to God, and many times you wonder, why has not God responded to your prayer? God's time has not yet come for you. God's time had come for Samson's spearing. Read on, brother.
And he shall begin to deliver Israel.
He shall begin to deliver Israel from the Philistine. This is what I meant when I said that Samson was a child of great expectation. Because that this news that he's going to be a deliverer, that this news was given to his parents, particularly his mother, you know, sooner or later she's going to spread that news around. Not only that, right along there before Samson's birth, he was destined by God to be the deliverer of Israel. God in enabling Samson to fulfill his great destiny, the Almighty God endowed Samson with supernatural strength, physical strength that no person has ever had. But here is the trick. The man's strength was tied to the outward sign of his Nazarite vow. You know, God does some peculiar things. His strength, his Nazarite vow, was for him to wear locks and cut hair. That was the agreement between God and the parents. That no razor, no cutting instrument should go on his ear. And watch here. Funnily, that's where his strength lies. We would think God would put it in his muscle and no. It was in his ear. It was an outward sign. It is instructive also to note the interest and the care that his parents took in respect to they guiding him properly. You know, we spend a lot as parents, and we put a lot of care in our sons and daughters growing up right. And by that, we want them to go to the best school that we can afford, eh? And we want them to learn a little music lesson and learn a little Spanish and a little French, and we give them all of that. But in so many cases, the God part is left out or minimized. Are we all there? But Samson's parents took interest. Watch. Let us hear chapter 13, verse 6 through 14. Quick. Let us hear it. And what we are looking at here is the fact that they, as parents, took interest in making sure that God helped them to guide the child right. Let us hear it. Chapter 13, verse 6 following.
Mm-hmm. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was.
Neither I didn't ask this man who have the countenance of God. I didn't ask him from where he came. Read.
Neither told he me his name.
He didn't tell me his name either. Read.
But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son.
Now that was good news for the husband, because it is his wife here that is relating to him her encounter with a messenger from heaven. Read, brother.
And now drink no wine,
mm-hmm.
nor strong drink,
mm-hmm.
neither eat any unclean thing,
mm-hmm.
for the child shall be a Nazarite
uh-huh.
to God from the womb
uh-huh.
to the day of his death.
Read on.
Then Manoah entreated the Lord
uh-huh.
and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us.
Uh-huh. The man of God. They are referring to the angel as a man of God. We would like a second visit from him. Of course. Read.
And teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born.
You hear
born.
Why they want him? Huh? They want this man of God, God's angel, to come and teach them, tell them how to raise the child properly. If we as parents today, those of us who know Christ, were taking this type of interest in guiding our children properly in God's sight, they would be many, many more faithful Christians in the church. That's right. Look on the effort. Person like Brother Gilbert and other Sunday school teachers of the past here put out to make sure that our children are taught, because they need to be taught. And that teaching of God's word in their lives is the best moral, ethical, and religious and spiritual guide that a child can get. You stop at what verse?
Verse 8. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah,
mm-hmm.
and the angel of God came again
mm-hmm.
unto the woman.
Mm-hmm.
As she sat in the field.
Read.
But Manoah, her husband, was not with her.
Read on.
And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and sat unto him and said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Behold,
he was not there. You see, it is quite instructive, to say the least, that the angel keep visiting the mother. And rightly so, the hand that rocked the cradle ruled the world. That's right. You see, the influence of a good mother over a child is so awesome. Truly. Read on.
Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man,
mm-hmm.
and said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am.
He didn't say his wife unto the woman. Read. And the angel said, I am.
And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
How shall we order the child?
You hear again? First, it was the wife, the prospective mother of Samson, who wanted to know how to guide the child's life. Now the husband came and met the angel and is asking the same question. You see, that is uppermost in their mind. They wanted to guide this child's life properly. We should have the same interests. We should. Brothers and sisters, don't ever think that you are giving your child or your children the best when you send them to the best school, when you give them the healthiest food, and when you expose them to all the desirable social things, some of those things might be good, but nothing takes the place of them learning about God as they grow up. Nothing. And these two people recognize that. What verse you are?
Verse 12.
I wanted you to read to verse 14, but there's so much to cover. Let me hear 22 and 23.
And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die.
Watch here now. Because Manoah said to his wife, that is after their encounter with the angel, we shall surely die. Read.
We shall surely die because we have seen God.
Because we have seen God. Watch here, read.
But his wife said unto him.
You know, a lot of times the wife have a more level head than the husband. That's right. And in this case, you see, the husband was frightened because of the supernatural encounter that they have had. He said to his wife after the angel went about his business, we are going to die. We have seen God. But this woman, Samson's prospective mother, responded with saneness and rationality and reason. She said, read.
But his wife said unto him.
His wife said unto him.
If the Lord were pleased to kill us.
If God wanted to kill us.
He would not have received a burnt offering.
That's good reasoning, you know. That's solid reasoning. We offer God a burnt offering. And that was thankfulness, gratitude. Wait. We always must remember that if we have been getting from God, we are to give back to God. Amen. This is why, remember, I pointed out 2-3 weeks ago that worship, when you come to worship, you don't come to get. Are we all there? You don't come to be entertained. Are we all there? You don't come to be tickled, you come to give to God. That is what true worship is all about. It's an acknowledgement that God has been giving to us all along. So we set a few hours in the week. We are in acknowledging God's kindness, God's graciousness, God's benevolence. We come to worship. And worship is all about giving to God. So out of gratitude, they offer a sacrifice to God. And the wife rationally, sanely, with solid reason, is saying to her husband, you're crazy, master. If God wanted to kill us, he wouldn't accept our offering. That's a fact. Say a little more there, brother.
And a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things.
All the gracious, kind things that God has delivered to you and me. About a son to be born who would be the deliverer of Israel. God wouldn't share that with us. Read on a little more, brother.
Nor would as at this time have told us such things as these.
That's right. Thank God for the great and good advice of this same woman, Samson's mother. Samson was a man equipped and suited for the times. the Almighty God equipped Samson for the times in which he lived. The time in which Samson lived called for just a character like this. Should I go on pointing out that in those days, things like just natural, raw, physical strength, or things like a large army, and other things, these were the things that would bear up in those days. Of course, the Almighty God was not limited to any of those. Yes, Samson. But with all of this great promise, very early in Samson's life, did I say very early? Yes. He began to show impulsiveness. Very early in Samson's life, he began to show pride. Very early in Samson's life, he began to show selfishness, especially in the way he used the awesome gift that God gave him. Wait, let me just drop this by. The great physical strength that was given to Samson, it was never to merely to be put on display to satisfy Samson's ego. It was put in him or given to him to emancipate the Israelite from the bondage under which the Philistine had them. Samson's gift was meant to serve God's purpose. But early in his life, not only did we see how he used his gift impulsively, how pride, how selfishness, how untempered self-confidence. Did I say untempered? Yes. Untempered self-confidence. That is one of the things that going to bring Samson down is, it seems in the beginning Samson felt that his strength will never be diminished. He felt that he would have that strength as long as he lived. So he just put it on display. He just used it the way he liked. You know, when he visit Gaza, and the visit to Gaza was to engage in immorality. Are we all there? And the Delilah and these women, many of them helped to pull him away from God. But when Samson visits Gaza, and the Philistine heard that he was in the city, they decided that they got the man where they wanted him. And they set up men guiding the gate. Remember, the gate of Gaza, not just Gaza, the gate of any city in the ancient world, some of which would weigh in the ton, not just hundreds of pounds, but in the ton. They were heavy gates. Almost any city in the ancient world, when you read about the gate of a city, it was not any little gate. That's right. And when the setup for Samson, the gate locked, bolted, chained, Samson just wait until way deep in the night, and the man came and carried the gate and the gate post on his shoulder. Now, I mean, during the week, look up, if you can find in your encyclopedia or some biblical encyclopedia, just any city about the gate, and some will tell you about the massiveness of the city gate. The man just lift it up, and what the Bible gives us, he climb a hill with the gate. That's right. And was looking down. What you know, he was mocking the Philistine by that act. You lock up gate and they're waiting to kill me. When they look up on the hill, they see the man with the gate. That's right. These early impulsive, selfish, the untempered self-confidence that he had. Wait. It's one thing to have confidence in self, but confidence in the Almighty God is always better. Truly. And even in this modern world. Wait. Confidence is a good thing. You're undertaking something, it's good to not doubt yourself. And where you doubt yourself, you must come up with ways to overcome that doubt and build optimism and confidence. But make sure that self-confidence never replaces God's confidence. You see, because a lot of time we can have so much confident in ourselves that when good result come, the only person that get the pat on the shoulder, it's me. You see what I have accomplished? You see what I have achieved? And that can cause us to be vain and to forget to be grateful to God. You see, so when I talk about his untempered self-confidence, he suffered from that, and that was not good. He felt that his strength would be there always, forgetting that it was from God. Ladies and gentlemen, of note, let me just run down this. Of note, just some of the incidents that helped to make Samson's life what it was. You have his wife betrayal of his secret. I don't mean Delilah, his Philistine wife that he insisted he wanted, and his parents was telling him that she is a Philistine, we are Israelite. We are God's people, you don't have any right to, etc., go and want to marry a Philistine. But he said, I love her, she's the one I want. Well, she ultimately betrayed his secret. Then the same wife was given by her parents to Samson's friend. I'm just running down some of these. This is found in chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 4. Then the incident I relate a while ago is extraordinary. Feet in taking away on his shoulder the city gate of Gaza. This is found in chapter 16, verse 1 through verse 3. His, Another incident is where he divulged the secret of his strength. Are we all there? To Delilah. This is found in chapter 16, verse 5 and verse 16 through 17. We won't have time to go into this. I'm just relating. These are some of the high points. Remember, he told his first wife. He guessed a riddle and told his first wife. And she told it to some of his companions. And for that, he had to go and kill some people to get the prize to give to them. Just like that's how wantonly he used the gift that God gave him. Engage in this gambling, if I may. And they won because he felt nobody could guess the riddle that he posed. And of course, they had come and threatened his wife. And she never stopped. Oh, you say you love me, and oh, you say you love me. That's right. And he told her. And they came with the right answer, and he had to go and just kill some people. God didn't intend for him to use his strength like that. And here again, the secret of his extraordinary strength, he told to Delilah. Now, it's not that Delilah hated Samson. She didn't know the extent to which her Philistine people would be cruel to Samson. Samson had a God-given mission. As stated in chapter 13, verse 5. But in many of his self-confident action, we see the impulsive, the wayward resentment of Samson with an impulsiveness that was driven by personal injury that he felt he had to revenge. What Samson should keep in mind is that getting Israel from under the domination of the Philistine was his job. Not taking personal revenge. So all of these going to come back to Aunt Samson. Let us hear Judges chapter 16 and verse 20.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
Wait, take time, dear brother. This is Delilah. After getting at him, going at him to find out. You see, the Philistines thought that his secret, the secret of his strength was lying probably some portion or whatever. And she never eased up until he told her. He should not have told her. So here we have it now. Read. Start again. 20.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep.
He awoke out of his sleep.
And said, I will go out as at other times before.
Stop there, brother. He was wrong. His going out after this will not be like other times. Because by this, the Philistine had removed the symbol of his strength. But Samson didn't realize what was going on. He said, I will go out as at a time.
And shake myself.
And shake myself.
And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
This, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is a sad commentary on many considerations. When he said, did you get that? And he did not know. I'm just paraphrasing it. Read it again, brother.
And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
Everybody got that? He did not know that God had departed from him. So it was not just the physical strength that was taken away by this point. God had departed from him. And as I've said, for this reason, his going out will not be like other time, because the all-important factor was not there, and that is God was not in his life. It could not be like other times, even though Samson thought so. The verse not finished, you know, hold it, brother. The verse not finished. What the brother just read, the last part of the verse, and he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Are we all there? Are we all there? Things are far from being like other times in our lives when Jesus Christ walked away from us. Things are always far from being like other times when the Almighty God depart from our lives. Are we all there? But even more tragic is where the Bible said he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. This is even more tragic. Wait. It's one thing to be ill. It's terribly tragic when you do not know that you are ill. You see, once you know that you are ill, you will take steps. When you are ill and sometimes seriously and don't know, you are galanso and think you are healthy, and sometimes some terrible things happen. That's the situation here with, and he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. For God to depart from or be absent from our lives is as sad as it can be. Are we all there? Are we all there? The known and felt presence of God in David's life, that was what made all the difference in David's life. Psalms such as the 23rd grew out of that felt presence in David's life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. This Psalms, it's probably one of the greatest pieces of religious literature ever written. And this grew out of David feeling that presence of God in his life all along. It was that felt presence of God that made David move with confidence to challenge Goliath. David, an inexperienced youth, knew nothing about war and battle and whatever. Goliath, a giant in every sense of the word. But David felt that he would succeed because of the presence of God in his life. It was that same felt presence of God in David's life. Remember where we are, and I'm wrapping up. You know, is the fact that, and he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Give me a few minutes to show that that happens to many of us. That God is absent from our lives, and we think we and him sleep every night. I'm talking about the felt presence of God in David's life. Psalms 27 is another Psalms that show this felt presence. Let me hear a little of it. Quick, brother. Time is going. 27, verse 1, 2, and 3. Quick.
The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light.
And my salvation.
And he is my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
You see, the Psalms is about trust. And now notice, the Lord is. I always like the Psalms, because in that David is saying, I can trust God for here and now. Then verse 2.
When the wicked, even mine enemies,
and my foes,
came upon me to eat up my flesh.
Watch here. King. That's past. I can trust God because of yesterday. Because in that verse, he's talking about past experience with God. Then verse 3.
Though an host should encamp against me.
Notice should. That has not yet come. He's saying, I can trust God for tomorrow. So it's not only that I can trust God for here and now. It's not only that I can trust God because of yesterday. But I can trust God for tomorrow. David felt the presence of God in his life right along. God had departed from Samson, and nothing worse can happen to us. But ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the greater tragedy is that Samson didn't know that God was departed from his life. Not to be aware of God not being a part of our lives is terrible. Yet, that is a common situation today. I have often heard backsliding Christians who are backslidden, tell you, well, even though I don't come to church, you know, they'll tell you, even though they don't come to church, they talk like, even though they haven't been to church for months and weeks and years, they and God cover up under the shame sheet every night. That's the way they talk. They would convince you that even though they don't come to church, even though they don't worship God everything is okay between them and God. Which God is that? What I'm saying is, so many times God depart the lives of so many people and they do not recognize it. That was Samson's, one of Samson's tragedy. Are we there? Let us learn from that. Look. Remember, God is a part of our lives on condition. Condition that he sets. Wait. You don't just get up and say, well, I have God in my life. No, God is the one who set the condition upon which you get him in your life. In fact, the church doesn't set it. The church only preach it. That's right. Look at God's own word. The condition upon which he will be a part of our life. Even though this is general, it gets the point across. Let us turn to the passage of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Let us hear it.
And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah.
And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah,
the son of Oded.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out to meet
Azariah. That is, Azariah was God's spokesperson, God's prophet. Read.
And he went out to meet Asa,
mm-hmm.
and said unto him,
Asa was a king.
Mm-hmm. Hear ye me, Asa.
Hear you, Asa.
And all Judah.
And all Judah.
And Benjamin.
And all Benjamin. That's the side with the two tribes.
The Lord.
And Asa was the king over Judah and Benjamin. Read.
The Lord is with you.
I want you to hear this. You need to get this, because this has always been, even though it is worded generally, this has always been God's ways. The Lord is with.
The Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you.
While ye be with him.
While you be with him. Wait, everybody get that? Don't move from it, brother, don't move. The Lord is with you if you are with him. Read the rest of it.
And if you seek him.
And if you seek him.
He will be found of you.
He will be found of you.
But if
wait, brother. You must put out some effort to seek Christ. And you will find him. Many people don't put out any effort to know God, to know God's will. They are too busy dealing with worldly things. God says, if you seek him, put out effort to find him, you will find him. Read on.
But if ye forsake him.
If you forsake him.
He will forsake you.
People don't realize, and Christians, we need to understand that. When we give up Christianity and backslide, Jesus Christ give us up. That's right. Well, in fact, that's what happened to Samson. The tragic thing with Samson, God departed from the man and he didn't know it. And in talk about that, I will go out like other time. It will not be like other time, Samson. It cannot be. The important factor, God was absent from your life. Today, so often unfaithful and known backsliders are totally unaware of their spiritual state and condition. Look on Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to try and make that the last passage. Hebrews chapter 10, 38 and 39.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Now the just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
Any man who draw back.
My soul.
Brother, that's backslider. Any man who draw back, that's a backslider, the passage. That's Hebrews, New Testament. My soul what?
Shall have no pleasure in him.
Are we there? God says when we backslide, God has no pleasure. He's not pleased with us. Listen, the other verse.
But we are not of them who draw back.
The writer of Hebrews saying to his audience, we, including himself and the Christian to whom he wrote, we are not like those who backslide. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, one, God has condition upon which he becomes a part of our lives. It's not set by you or me. The church preach it. When you and I fail to live up to Christ's expectation, then he may void our lives and we don't even know it until sometime in tragic situation. When we pick up on the last aspect of the lesson next week, and that will be some positive things. Brother Mitchell, can there be positive things come out of Samson's life? Yes, yes. There will be a lot. You know what, brothers and sisters? There is wisdom, power, and strength when we learn from our failures and our mistakes. So there are a lot of great things to learn from this man's life. When we pick up on some of the positive that we can learn today from that life that appears to fail. May I just drop this as we close? Solomon was meant that in his lifetime he would accomplish God's will in getting rid of the domination of the Gentile Philistine over Israel. You know what? The man, because of his impulsive and godly ways, failed to do that during his lifetime. But do you know what? In his death, he accomplished that. That's right. That's one of the points we hope to look at next week, as we learn some positive things arising from this life which appears to have failed. If you are here today, if you are a child of God who have backslidden, or a child of God who is slipping, there is no better time to come and commit your life to Christ than now. Christ gives us now. Are you a man or woman, a boy or girl, who you have never become a Christian the Bible's way? You might have joined churches or denomination, but you have never become a Christian the Bible's way. There is no better time to do that than today, and that would include not only you hearing the truth of the gospel of Christ, but that you will believe the truth of the gospel of Christ, including believing that Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, was the Son of God, and he still lives today as the Son of God. That you will not only believe, but you will believe to such an extent you want to repent. That is, give up your way of life. Give up the worldly and godly sinful way of life and turn to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall perish. But when you repent, you still have not become a Christian yet. Repentance only means you have made a decision to turn your back on sin, but you are still not a Christian. to get all your past sins forgiven, cleansed, removed, you need to be baptized in water. And you know what Christ says about that? That is for the removal of your sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Today you can step forward to give your life to Christ or to recommit your life.